Good morning, LinkedIn friends, Value First Nation. Welcome to another episode of Value First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. It is Monday, September 29th. Q4 happens this week. Nico, how are we doing, man?
Doing well, sir. Doing very well. A lot of exciting news over the weekend. It's funny. A lot of what would otherwise be called hype, and it is kind of hype to me. But a little bit of hype, and then some good pointers, I think. So the stuff I'm talking about is all related to OpenAI. One is the Pulse that released, and so. For those of you who haven't heard, Pulse is this new feature from OpenAI that is only available for Max users. So at the moment, if you pay the $200 a month, you get this feature. I think it's going to roll out to Plus users fairly soon because it's not really, I don't see it. You know, the reason, so when people are like, oh, why Max and not Plus and then why not free? It's based on usage, right? So any new feature that gets added increases the amount of usage that somebody's going to put into GPT. So they basically look at, okay, for whatever, a week or 2 weeks or however they've determined the measurement needs to be, we'll see what the usage increase is by what percentage. And then you can basically guesstimate that, yeah, it's going to be about that percentage on the next level. But the next level of users is whatever, 110x, 100x, the amount of users and the amount of pull on the system overall. Anyway, so I don't know how much people are using this at the $200 level. Essentially, it amounts, in my opinion, and I get it, it's a little bit fancier than that. I get it. It amounts to tasks. Like we had this already. We had tasks before and then it mysteriously went away. I'm pretty sure because people were abusing it and, it was pulling a lot of stuff off the clock, so to speak. And so what this does is it'll go out, it'll do your research for you based on, what you set up in terms of what you want to look at. If I had to, and you can, I think you can boil this feature down to it's an auto blog. It's a daily auto blog. It'll go out, pull your stories together, basically create a blog for you, has an audio overview. It's very nice. I think it's awesome. But, again, it's kind of a gimmicky feature. I think that it's getting overhyped for what it actually is. And then outside of that, the Academy, right? And there was a massive explosion in the Academy. And then just this, shotgun of minute-long OpenAI videos over the weekend, just of very simple to do things. But I thought they were really great examples and great promotional material, because I do see a lot of stuff from Claude, but Claude tends to point at features and not like daily life application necessarily. And so one of the ones that I found interesting because of what it was tying together was pull-ups, ChatGPT for pull-ups. And I was like, oh, okay, this one's gonna be, let's, I gotta see what this is all about. And I thought, it's funny because they could have taken it one step further. They didn't. So imagine this. Okay, this is what was in the commercial. It's just a guy doing pull-ups, and then he comes to rest. Afterwards, you see on the screen that he goes to pick up his phone, and on the screen you see him reading, you see the conversation he's reading, and the conversation is him and ChatGPT going over hey, how can I increase my pull-ups, from this week to next week or something or whatever over the next month. And you see the response of hey, here's what you should be doing. When you're not exercising, you should be doing this. You should try to get this in, early morning, whatever. That was pretty cool. What I thought was going to happen, and what I was kind of surprised by, and what people don't really know, is that you could just have it be your fitness coach altogether live. So for those of you who don't know, ChatGPT has the capability of vision, especially if you have a Plus account. And what you can do is you can turn that on and you can close your phone so that it's not like burning up batteries, you know, too badly. And then you can just set your phone nearby and it still sees what you're doing and it's still listening to you. Now, sadly, it'll pick up audio around you. So you're probably going to want to use like a headset that, you know, tries to keep your audio consistent. But essentially what you can do is have a personal trainer that's watching you work out and is able to tell you like, hey, you know, your form is off a little bit. You might want to do this, right? And you can even tell it like, hey, you know, here's where I'm at in this thing, you know, how's it look or whatever the case may be. Gemini, you know, can do the same thing, right? Like this, the level of personal assistance to me, like goes well above and beyond just prompting it for, you know, advice and then going based on the advice, right?
Yeah. That use case actually came up when Isabel was suggesting that she was considering going to this place online to get a personal trainer certification. And that was around the time, I think, that Gemini, or Google's version of Vision, had just come out. So, like, I went and found a YouTube video of somebody doing like a 1 minute video about how to do a squat or something. And I asked the Vision to like see on the screen and, you know, remark on it. And that was an example of like, okay, I could see, I was trying to like qualify the need for this certification mm-hmm. and accreditation, which is like, you know, you would think the human to human contact related to physical like training that would be hard to replace. But then I showed it and it was like, no, like if you have this available, right? Mm-hmm. Like you could, and of course this is not gonna be one of those things that might be like perfect out of the gate. Like I would want, you'd have to like figure out the camera angle and make sure that was always consistent. Cause it's not like a human that can just like look around the corner and know exactly, you know, there's a lot of nuance there, but mm-hmm. it's a bridge. Like just showing that video and the fact that it could remark on physical movement, like open the door, like, okay, maybe this is another certification or accreditation that is not as important as we think it is. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of thing, like all of these things, software or the physical space at this point, if you can enable at this point, the person in the gym who you can't be with 24/7 as a coach,
yep.
if you can enable close to 24/7 available coaching while you're there, like that's what's going to create adoption of programs and like lifestyle changes,
right?
That we have, and we haven't had access to that before. I mean, we've seen examples of what 24/7 care like that is like,
yep. you know,
people who are wealthy that have live in this, live in that, live in everything, that mm-hmm. are always there, like that are in like peak shape, like peak athletes that always have this group of coaches around them. Like that's why they're peak athletes. That's a big part of the reason they're peak athletes.
Right.
Right. You got to have a mindset to be open to coaching 24/7, of course, but just having it available to you, and that costs a lot of money. Like when it's a human doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And this is.
This is the next step. I mean, when I think about it right now, people, you know, they say Codex can only do like 1% of all human work. I don't know what the numbers are, I'm gonna, you know, I'll look it up and then I'll bring it back tomorrow. But off the top of my head, just think about jobs globally, right? Just gonna rattle off a few that you could full sail eliminate because of just ChatGPT, right? Just a ChatGPT Plus account. Okay. Definitely can get rid of like low level programmers. Like that's not even a thing. That's not a thing anymore. Front end programmers, again, like low front end programmers. Yeah, you can at least cut those numbers down, or at least cut those numbers in half. Above that, it gets a little iffy, I'll admit. You need some experience. So I wouldn't say that there's wholesale replacement there. Translators. I mean, it's been years already, so it's amazing that that's not just gone as a profession, but that could be gone as a profession, which also includes court reporters. Gone as a profession. Also includes anyone that does any type of transcription. Gone as a profession. If you do any sort of transcription from physical to digital, gone as a profession. You can just use GPT Vision and do that transcription as well. Any sort of, well, I shouldn't say any sort of, but low level chemistry and low level mathematics. So realistically, bank tellers, not really sure. Not sure there's a whole lot going on there. There's some physical transaction happening perhaps, but other than that, we're just, you know, punching keys.
Like the more transactional it is.
Yeah, I mean, like if you just add up all of those jobs, I'm really sure you go well over 20 million, right? Like I'm guessing globally, right? So I don't know what else like to tell you guys, but if you're going by, oh, well, the robots aren't here yet. Just be thankful that there are humans between you and like the would-be replacement, because that's the only thing that I'm seeing. The only thing I'm seeing is this human gate that stands between like the replacement happening, right? Again, I don't understand human translators and I don't understand human court reporters. Like those two jobs being done by humans doesn't make sense to me. You are literally just introducing the probability for error. That's all you are doing in those cases. And when I think about it further, we talk about like lie detectors, right? We've never had the capability of cross-comparing all testimonies ever given on all types of cases. And then to look at the instances in which we found either that a witness was lying or whatever the case may be. And then to see if there's actually a verbal pattern in which people like who, you know, whatever, maybe there's people who lie on the stand or whatever. And there's just this pattern that exists that we don't know about. Who studies all of that stuff, right? I don't know. I don't even know if we have a Rain Man of the law, right? So like that's a thing, right? Like all of that pattern inference starts to become a thing. What is it that detectives do best? They infer based on pattern.
Yeah.
Right? Same thing as labs, right? As NCIS stuff, right?
Pattern matching. What's the MO? Like,
yeah.
All that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, like CSI labs, right? All of those photos. We're talking about
enhance.
Like, think about how much training data there is that sits in evidence lockers just around the nation, right? Like, believe me when I say that court application, legal application of this technology, my gosh, that one is like societal changing, right? Like that's where you really start to see the patterns start to emerge. You know, again, it starts looking very Minority Report a bit. But in terms of like, patterns and, you know, going along the lines of patterns that exist, you also find the patterns to the useless stuff too. All the shit that we shouldn't be doing, or all the stuff that we shouldn't be wasting our time on, right?
Yeah.
Which to me, it leads right into a story that like both of us were looking at, which is what is it, job slop or AI slop?
Work slop. Yeah. And as we transition into that, I just need to share, like, because if you have any question as to why I am so bullish on this transformation that we're asking people to make, without getting dragged through the mud here, I pull up this Discover page for the first time because usually I get notifications on my phone from Perplexity, and that's how it gave me this Accenture, but it just gives me the Accenture article, right? As I pull up this homepage, violence, AI, bad stuff. Okay.
Yeah. Like,
that's why I want to move away from the current paradigm, right? Because that's built for a human. Anyways, a part of this, so the two stories that are the two data points from the weekend were this story and a great podcast yesterday from the AI Daily Briefing, who I love the fact that whenever stories come up, trying to blame AI for workplace dysfunction, basically, starting with the 95% story, people aren't get 95% of users aren't getting ROI on AI. And now this one from yesterday where AI work slop creates, like, people are creating more of it, and it actually takes 2 hours to, like, dig out from under the really long and verbose slide deck or article that was created. And he related it to Office Space, movie from 25 years ago, around the questions of it, of like, what is it that you do here? And the question and the response is, let me tell you about TPS reports. And, you know, something that was super surprising to me in 2020, when I joined, like, the biggest company that I've worked for, $500 million company, sorry, global, how much time was spent by the president of the division creating 168 slides every month to report to the board, to report to headquarters. And, you know, when done right, when you don't have the system in place to do it for you, there is some value in his words, and I see where he was coming from. Like, you have to, as the manager, as the top manager, you're processing slides from everybody that's giving you those slides. You're processing it into the story of the business. There is value in that. But that means you have to delegate down everybody creating slides every month for this activity. And inside of their teams, it's the behavior and the habit that you're creating inside of organizations, especially when micromanagement is driving everything. And we know that there's a slide output required. We know that it's going to get changed by somebody else, or it might not even get used, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to start using AI for that shit, right? So that was work slop before AI. Like, AI work slop can only exist if work slop exists. If the need for work slop exists, which it does when you just are asking me to create report after report that may or may not even get used at these meetings. Man, I used to be so excited that there was some kind of structure to follow. Because I came from, like, 10-person SMB into, like, $500 million. I was like, all right, we got a budget. Like there's like monthly things happening and I start creating stuff. And when you create that stuff and you put effort into it, which just happens before the work slot part, and then it doesn't even get used during the board meeting or whatever the super important meeting that all of a sudden fire drill, we got to get this stuff done. And then it didn't even come up during the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing more disheartening than that.
Right.
Because you go from like, oh man, my shit's really important to, oh yeah, no, it's not. So guess what? Just checking maybe this box time. Moving forward. Right. And so couple that with this Accenture, cuts 11K jobs where we are exiting people on a compressed timeline where reskilling based on our experience is not a viable path for the skills we need. Right. And there's mm-hmm. probably a layer of that, which are people transforming knowledge into consumable documentation, into reports, into slides, like a lot of admin work from that perspective. And right before we went live today, Nico was talking about using a team of AI, Gemini, GPT, Perplexity to help code apps. Like I would guess when they talk about reskilling not a viable path, it has to include some people that aren't willing or might not understand how to work with a team of AI partners to get their job done. Mm-hmm. They're used to calling a meeting and talking through every little detail and then making it their own story and putting their own spin on it and then delivering the output to the rest of the organization, right? Like if that's you, if that's how you want to operate, that's you like inserting yourself at the wrong part of the loop and you got to go. Like, and the fact that the interesting piece before I, get your take on this, company maintains strong financial performance despite cuts. Investors reacted cautiously to the restructuring news. Accenture stock declined 2.7 following the announcement. Like they knew, I'm sure they knew.
Yeah.
That it wasn't going to be taken well. So there's a bunch of leaders who are wanting to do this right now or trying to hide the fact that they are doing it because this is what transformation is going to look like. Mm-hmm. If what it is look like. Like if you don't know what Value First is, it's literally trying to facilitate transformation from industrial age paradigm to AI age paradigm, right? Because leaders, like the traditional structure that we live in, they are disincentivized to transform into the age of AI. That's why you hear about the one person, two person, three person companies that don't give a shit about that. They don't have to deal with all that minutia and they can just build and go fast.
That's crazy, it's the way of the future. That's the thing is, I don't really blame these companies at all. I really don't. Like being able to do what I do, I'll say that's not easy. Like I can very honestly say that what I do with AI on a daily basis isn't easy. Because of the fact that you're maintaining multiple systems at the same time and having to keep tabs on all of them. And I'm not even joking. Like I'll have a series of tabs open for every IDE that's open, because that series of tabs, that's the team of AI plus documents plus whatever that relates to that application or whatever is going on there. Right. Even if I'm not working in a coding app, I still have like, again, like a tab, of whatever team of of AI that's open at the same time working on something, even if I'm just problem solving, because even if I'm using one model to initiate the problem solution, first of all, that model is going to have double conversations so that I can make sure that it is coming back with a consistent answer. And then that's got to get balanced against another model that has similar information so that it can confirm that, yeah, that is the right way to go about doing it. At least that's what's happening on my end. What I'm seeing from a lot of people is, yeah, I'm using AI, but I'm not getting the same output, or it's not really that good, or, you know, I don't understand why people are trying to learn this when, you know, it's not that good yet. And it's like, well, you know, not every person is that good either. But when you give them like a second or third try or whatever, or you put a team of people together, right, then all of a sudden it starts to get a lot better. And all of a sudden your results start to improve. That's a part of skilling up. Like a part of skilling up. And why I say that like a lot of this is difficult is because, again, it takes a creative mind. It takes creative thinking. It takes the ability to literally, I mean, we were talking about it just before we came on. And that's what I meant when I said, like, OpenAI could have taken it one step further with that commercial, right? And like, that's that whole thing of like, you know, while that guy might be using it on a tactile sense, I wouldn't. I would be using it on a hands-free sense, because I can put that two and two together that like, oh, well, if it has this capability, then it must be able to do this thing. Or even if it can't, to be able to ask the question, hey, can you do this thing based on being able to have these capabilities, right? Or if you don't, can I build a thing that could do this, right? Like,
yeah, it takes an objective mindset in terms of like, this is the most intelligent entity that we've ever been around, and certainly more intelligent than us. Mm-hmm. I just put a link in the comments to this article, because it keeps going about, you know, how this is signaling like this idea of restructuring. It says Accenture's workforce changes mirror a broader trend across the technology and consulting sectors, where companies are rapidly reconfiguring their operations around artificial intelligence. The firm has nearly doubled its AI and data specialists to 77,000 since fiscal 2023, while training over 550,000 employees in generative AI fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because this is also a company that is known for its great skilling up and retraining and keeping people up to date. And if they're doing this, and that allows them to see better than most, like, okay, these are the spots where it's not going to work, right? And we're happy to help you find your next gig, which I would imagine that's what they mean by, you know, speeding up the exit process. They're not going to let that get in the way of the change that they need to make, because they're making this in the face of, this change is so big. This is reversing 5 decades of how we're working. The company secured $5.9 billion in generative AI bookings for fiscal 2025, nearly doubling from the previous year. Bookings meaning AI consulting, AI services that companies are asking for, right? And if mm-hmm. they don't do this, they will not be able to serve that demand, which is what pays the bills, right? Right. So smart, like, there's a reason they get paid a lot of money for consulting. They're willing to do this stuff before the rest of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then they leverage the hell out of that and know that you're in the position they're in. You can't possibly change as fast or as effectively. And now you ask them to do it for you. It's it's going to continue, but we're going to be here to help you kind of make sense of it, because running out of real estate in terms of change and transformation, like no matter what space you're in, right? We just talked about, physical training, you know, health coaches, right? Yeah, man, it's powerful stuff. We're at time.
As usual.
We're going to see. We're going to see everybody tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Have a great Monday, Nico.
You as well, sir. See you guys.